you know, just being open to being led by the Spirit and being able to be, like Jesus says, the salt in the world, the salt in the earth and the light of the world, because he's called us to be that witness for him. We call themselves by his name because Jesus ascended to heaven, and so Jesus in his body and his manifest physical presence is not with us, but in his spirit, he is in us, and that's the hope of glory that we have. So, you know, the sons of God are now, it says in Romans, waiting to be revealed to the creation, and so just being led by the Spirit and having opportunity to share being led, that people can see that there's hope and there's light, you know, it's a powerful thing, and you feel that you're, you know, you're in the Spirit when you see that, when you're encouraged to see that God is working. And not that we boast in anything of ourselves, but in Jesus, because we can't even be a light of ourselves. It's impossible, because the light comes from Jesus, and that it says in John that in him is life, and that life is the light of men. So Jesus Christ is the true light, you know, coming into the world. And it says God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. So if we abide in God, we have the light in ourselves. And Jesus calls us to be that light. And so until we come to faith in Jesus Christ and victory in that walk with him, we cannot become the light, because Jesus says, I've come as light into the world that he who believes in me may not remain in darkness. And so when we're walking in our old life, the old way, you know, we're in darkness. It's impossible to be a light. We can't do it. But if we abide in him, we turn from our ways and seek his face. It says, Jesus says, the light is with you, he said to his disciples and those Jews that were with him. He says, the light is with you a little while longer. He says, believe in the light while you have a light, that you also may become the sons of light. And this is what he spoke to them, and he was speaking of himself, because they said, you know, who's the Son of Man? And he began to testify that he was the Son of Man, the light of the world. And so he says, while you have the light, believe in it. So while Jesus is with us, or with his disciples, he was the light to them. And then he gave them the Holy Spirit. And so now, all who call upon Jesus Christ receive that Holy Spirit within themselves, and we receive that light of men, which is the life. And it's evident, because he who has the Son has the life, and people can see it in you, if you have the life. Because it says, he who believes in me, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. It will flow out of you, that life, that living water. It's a living water. And so we don't remain in darkness when we're following Jesus, and it becomes a witness to people. And that's what he told the apostles when the Spirit came. He says, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. He says, I'm calling you to be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. I'm going to clothe you with power. And that was the power of that indestructible life that was demonstrated in Jesus when he was raised from the dead. He was declared the Son of God by the resurrection and of an indestructible life. And that life is in Jesus, because we have that incorruptible seed, where we're not perishing. You know, we're not perishing in the old sin nature in the flesh, but we are being renewed. That verse we talked about, day by day, being changed from glory to glory. The inner man is being renewed. Though Paul says in this earthly tent, this body is being torn down. In this earth, we don't have hope, because we know this earth is passing away. But in the spirit, you know, as we're seeking Jesus Christ with all our heart, our inner man is being renewed, and we're maturing. And that's what his desire is, that we become a mature bride. It says, spotless and blameless. So when we stand before him, I was reading some verses that he wants to present us before him, blameless and holy. You know, that's a pretty fearful thing when you think of the thoughts of men and the heart of man. It says it's deceitful above all else and desperately wicked. But only through faith in God can you change your heart. God has to change the heart. And so it says, if you continue steadfast in the faith, if we continue to believe God's word, he will change the heart. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. Because the corruptible seed cannot become incorruptible. It can't do it of itself. Nicodemus was trying to understand it. And he couldn't of his own self understand it, because Jesus said, you have to be born again. That's regeneration. Regeneration is a re-gening. We were talking about this with a brother, about how does someone with a sin nature, how can he obey God? How is that possible? And we thought about it, because Jesus commands us to obey him. Well, how can we do that if we have a sin nature? Because Paul, the Apostle Paul in Romans 7 says that the good he wants to do, that he cannot do. He's testifying of a place in his life where he was battling with something, some sin, covetousness. And he said he couldn't overcome it. He was trying to, but he couldn't, and he hated it. He didn't even like the things that he did. And he says, I found this principle, this law, that evil is present within me. And I finally understood that to be the sin nature. I didn't have clarity on exactly that. And these verses used to bother me because I thought, this is not the place where a Christian should be, because some people say that that's the Christian lifestyle, where you're just always stumbling and slave of sin. But clearly that doesn't line up with Romans 6 when he says he who has died is free from sin. And we're not to be slaves of sin. And so he comes to the place where he says, I find then that it's not even me who sins. It's not me, but he says it's sin dwelling in me. It's not me, I, who want to, but it's the sin that's in me. It's that sin, that nature, that desires to just obey that fleshly nature. It sins. And so what do you do? Well, that's why Paul says you have to be crucified with Christ. You have to die so that you can be regenerated. And when you regenerate, you get a new gene. It's the gene of Jesus Christ. And that's why God says that the promises were made to Abraham and to his seed. And it was speaking of Jesus Christ. He says, and to seed, not to seeds as to many, because all those seeds, those were corruptible seeds. Every seed apart from Jesus Christ was a corruptible seed, except for Jesus' seed. Well, and Adam. Adam was made in the image of God, but then, of course, he sinned and he fell because he disobeyed the command of God. And we can see, maybe we'll get into that, about how that manifested the unbelief. But Adam disobeyed, and so Adam was made in the image of God, and Jesus Christ came as the holy seed. And until we're born again, we can't replicate that seed. We can't of ourselves do that. We must be born again. And that's what Peter says in the Gospel, or in 1 Peter. He says that we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the living and abiding Word of God. And that's how it starts. And so it started for me, was the Word of God was preached to us. And he said to the Ephesians, having believed, you received the Holy Spirit promise, the pledge. That's the new seed. The Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1, I think 12, 13, somewhere in there. He said that you received the pledge, the Holy Spirit promise, that you were sealed with it. And so that is that seed that we receive through believing the Word. And if we believe the Word, we will be regenerated, born again. And that seed now is like in the ground planted, and it has to grow and bear fruit. Because Jesus is coming that he might come and find the fruit which the Father is glorified by. And Jesus said, apart from me, you can't abide, you can't bear fruit without abiding in me. It's impossible. He says, if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. And so we have to abide in Jesus Christ, the incorruptible seed. So going back, it says the promises are made to Abraham, to his seed. That is to Jesus Christ. And so we are sons of God through faith in Abraham. So when we believe in Jesus with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we become partakers, joint heirs, it says, of Jesus Christ. That's born again. And until we come to that place, we can't, with a sin nature, obey God. We must be born again, and that we must repent. We must come to a place where we say, Lord, I'm a slave of sin. You know, I find out it's really acknowledging that we're slaves of sin. The Jews were there, and they said, we are children of Abraham. We are free. But Jesus says, no. If you are truly children of Abraham, you would do the deeds of Abraham. He says, if you are my disciples, you would abide in my word, and you would know the truth, and the truth would make you free. But they couldn't acknowledge that they were slaves. But Jesus says, he knew what was in their hearts. He says, you are the father of the devil at one point, because he says, you do the deeds, his deeds, his works. But if they would have acknowledged that they were still slaves, because Jesus said, a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son. And so we find ourselves, how is it that our tendency is to become slave to sin? We get addicted to something, we become a slave of it, and we find we can't overcome. Well, how do you get free? I was thinking about this verse today. How do you get free from that? It says, you must abide in my word, and you will know the truth. Thought about that. How do you abide in the word? You know, you just start to believe the word, and you abide in it. And he'll bring the revelation. Paul talks about coming to the full knowledge of his will, the revelation of his will. And that comes through knowing the truth. And when you come to the truth, suddenly that truth will cut you like a two-edged sword. It says the word of God is a double-edged sword. It will start to expose the lie that deceived Eve in the garden. It will start to expose the lie that deceived us when we found ourselves backsliding in our sin. And we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free, because we'll come to the revelation that we need to repent and call on Jesus' name. And that's how I believe born again happens. Born again happens then. And that's when you get that holy seed where you can walk by the Spirit and not after the flesh. Because the Word of God says that if you walk by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desire of the flesh. That means there will be a victory. we'll be able to obey the voice of the Spirit. So anyways, my day, it was interesting. I had this appointment in the morning, and I was supposed to go to, I thought to Vancouver. I had these two buildings I was supposed to be at. And so anyways, I started driving to Vancouver. I thought that building was the first one, and I got a call because I was late because there was traffic and there was snow and stuff today. So anyways, I got the call. No, it was at the other building. So I turned around and went back to the other place, and I don't know how that happened, but I thought the schedule was to be in Vancouver first and Burnaby later. So somehow it got mixed up, so oh well. So we went there and and went to the building, and I met these people I was supposed to be with, and I had to do this tour. And it was after it was over, they left. I was going to go meet them at the next place. While I was there, I was talking to the security guard, and he was there and just chatting and stuff. And I noticed he had his he had a Bible there, like open, sitting there, and a small little, you know, one of those Gideon Bibles or something like that. And he was reading it, and I was like, well, that's pretty odd. Like, you know, I don't see a lot of people reading their Bibles like at the front desk, you know, or at work in front of everybody. He wasn't ashamed of it. And I thought it's interesting. So as these people were leaving, I just made a comment because I thought, you know, maybe this is his brother. Maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe he serves Jesus. I don't know what kind of gospel he has, because there's, you know, there's a lot of gospels out there. I don't know if he's a Jehovah's Witness or a Catholic or, you know, Protestant, or is he serving Jesus with all his heart? That's all I wanted to know. So I just said, oh, I see you're reading your Bible and stuff. He's like, yeah. He says, I need to read it to. It gives me wisdom and understanding, he says, and it helps me stay on that path, he says. It's helpful for me. I says, yeah, it's good, yeah. No, I related to that. It's true. I just made a comment about, yeah, we need the daily bread, you know, every day and stuff. And he goes, yeah, yeah. And he pulls behind it. Yeah, the daily bread devotional. And I was like, oh, I wasn't thinking about that. But he was just like, oh yeah, yeah, I got the daily bread right here. And so I just thought it was interesting how the Lord struck up the conversation. So there he was, and so we were talking back and forth. And so I thought I should ask him, you know, what his faith was. And he said he was Christian, you know, Protestant and stuff. And I said, okay, good. So then. So I says, well, I felt I should ask him his testimony, like, what happened? How'd you get, you know, born again? How'd you get saved? And he says, wow. He says, well, when I was a kid, you know, from young, my parents, you know, raised me in the way and stuff, and I accepted the Lord, and he just told me the story. And then he said, but then, he says, when I was in elementary school, I kind of went the ways of all the kids, rebellious, and I kind of backslid for a while. He says, but then I kind of sort of came back, and then when I was 21, he said, that's when it really went bad. He said, got into some bad company, and the people he was hanging out with, they took him to bad places, you know, nightclubs and bars, and into places where he just got defiled. Like his mind was totally went corrupt, and he said he went off for a while. And since then, he said that he's sort of been coming back to the Lord. Obviously, he's, you know, seeking the Lord there with his Bible. And so he was telling me a story about how, you know, how it happens that you backslide and stuff like that. And we were just talking, and anyways, his example was that, he says, it's kind of like a crab. You put him in the cold water, and he says, you just put that, you put it like an element underneath it, and you heat it up. He says, you don't see it, but after a while, you just, you know, it's kind of cool and stuff, and then all of a sudden it's warmer, it feels all right, you know, you just kind of hang out there, and not too bad, and then it gets warmer, and he says, all of a sudden, it's too late, he says, you're cooked, he says. He says, that's how he described his back in the state. Okay, yeah, I understand that. I says, yeah. I says, the word kind of explains it like this. You know, our hearts become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, he had this parable for it. So I thought I'd just, you know, I'm not good with parables. I like to go to the Word. So I thought, just go to the Word. You know, I says, our hearts can become calloused. And that happens when you just, I says, a little leaven leavens a lump, you know. Little compromise, little area of your life where you compromise, and suddenly you find out, you know, you're just in that water, and it's starting to get lukewarm, and you're just, everything's all good, but you're lukewarm, you don't even realize it, right? You think everything you can see, you can, it's all good, but the Lord says that, you know, lukewarm, he's going to spew them out of his mouth. And so then I says, well, you know, we get deceived by sin, it just comes so craftily. I says, it's like the Garden of Eden. I know. I said, how did it happen to Adam? Like, what happened to him? You know, God said, don't eat from the tree. But the day he ate of it, it says that God promised he would die. And he said, yeah, yeah, I know. Like, he eventually died. And I says, no, like, God doesn't lie. Like, he was trying to say naturally. I said, God said he was going to die that day, you know. And So we were talking, and he wasn't getting it right away. And he's like, oh, he says, oh, yeah, I get it. He says, he died spiritually. I said, yeah, that's right. I said, he didn't die, you know, physically that day when he ate from the tree, but I said, God said he would die. He must have died spiritually, yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember hearing something about that once, he said. Oh, that's good, you know, he's able to understand the word. And I said, it's the same today. I said, that tree of knowledge of good and evil, it's like some people have called it that tree that produces death. And I said, it's in the world everywhere. I ate from it too. And I died. And it's the tree of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You know, all that's in the world. It's the tree of death. And it's everywhere. You just drive wherever you go. You're at work. It doesn't matter. It's everywhere. You can choose to partake of the flesh. And that sin nature, come alive. Just as fast as you repent, and the new creation, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. And suddenly you get that new seed. And it's planted, and life comes. But in the same way, if you go back and feed on that tree, I said to him, in that tree, that fruit, you know, there's seeds inside that fruit that Adam partook of, and Eve. Right? And when you partake of that corruptible fruit, there's a corruptible seed in there, and it gets planted inside of you. And that sin nature comes alive. That addiction comes back. That craving comes back. And I said, it's kind of like, you know, James. It says, each man is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. And so the enemy will say, you know, did God really say you can't do that or eat from that tree? Well, you start to doubt, right? Unbelief. And that's the beginning. It's unbelief. You know, we'll go back to Hebrews and clarify that with the scripture. But, you know, did God really say? And so if the devil can get you to doubt God's word, that's the very beginning. That's where he went. That's how he tries to win his battle. To bring unbelief and doubt in God's word. So when I shared a few scriptures with him, I could tell he was a bit shaky, you know, like scriptures like friendship with the world is hatred towards God. Oh, I don't know, like, you know, we got to guard against, you know, the kind of the Quakers and stuff like that, right? I was just sharing the word of God, you know. I wasn't talking about Quakers. I was just saying friendship with the world, you know. We're in the world, but we're not out of the world. There's a time to be set apart from that, all the ungodliness in the world. We're in it. And so I said, you know, when Adam, he had his opportunity to eat that seed, and the couple seed got in, and that's where sin entered, and death spreads all men, and therefore all sin, that's where sin nature started. Right there in the garden, Adam took the incorruptible seed. And the Word of God says, see to it that none of you have an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. So how did the falling away start? How did that falling away happen for Adam? An evil heart of unbelief. You know, did God really say, I don't know, he said to Eve, right? And so then you doubt, and then you look at the tree. Each one's tempted by his own lust. You look at it long enough. Sin conceives. There's the seed, right? Seed is planted. That's conception. When it's full grown, then you start to partake of it. Then eventually brings forth death. And that's how Adam died in the garden. He conceived that seed and lusted, and he partook. The day he ate of it, spirit died. And the reason it was evident was because he realized he was naked. He suddenly realized he was unclothed. And what was his clothing before? He was still naked, but he had, I believe, a robe of righteousness on, which was the righteousness of Christ. He was clothed in a spiritual garment, Isaiah says, a robe of righteousness and a garment of salvation. But when he ate of the corruptible seed, he realized he was uncovered because God's righteousness had left. His righteousness was gone, of the righteousness of Christ. And it's like that man who is in the wedding feast, the wedding banquet, when he called all those people who were invited, and he went and he looked at the guests, and he said, you, right there, without the wedding garment, without the white garment on, how did you get in here? The man didn't even know. His righteousness was gone. The fine linen garment, the righteous acts of the saints, it says in Revelation, is the white fine linen garment. When he saw him, he was speechless because he, like Adam, you know, speechless. You know, covering up. He was ashamed. His guilt was upon him. And there he was. It was evident that he didn't have the righteousness of Christ on him. So it falls back to unbelief. And that's how it happened in the garden. Eve doubted. And Eve talked to Adam. And Adam second-guessed. And he wasn't sure about losing, you know, his wife, how the relationship probably. And he sinned. He was weak. His flesh was weak. A couple of seed came in. So anyway, we were talking about this sin. And went on, and so he shared his testimony, and then, I shared my testimony with him. I said, well, I said, your testimony is kind of similar to mine. I said, I grew up in a Christian home too, and asked the Lord in my heart to serve him and stuff, but I fell away, and I ended up living a life of hypocrisy, and eventually, you know, I went to these Christian camps and stuff. I wanted to, you know, I wanted to seek the Lord. I had a desire to seek him. I was always interested. I said I would have times of victory. I knew I was a slave. In my conscience, I knew that there was sin in my life, but I was always like, you know, does God really say that? Like, that's sin? Like, will I go to hell because of that? I don't know, you know, I'm still, it's all good, right? I'm just a slave. Oh, a slave doesn't abide in the house forever. If I would only have known the scripture, if I would only have believed it. But I went to those Christian camps, and they preached the gospel there, and there was a true gospel, it was the word, it was convicting. They told me that I need to crucify my sin. And so then I was like, oh man, I had to fear God, so I had the victory there for, you know, the week of the camp. I was doing good, I felt so good, you know, spiritually, I was doing great. Went back home a couple days, and just the world is just all over me, back to everything. Because you're kind of in a bit of a bubble there, and the Lord, you know, provides that nice protective shelter there, away from the world, and you don't get all those lusts, because you're, you know, every day you're having these meetings, and you're always having fellowship, and you're doing good, right? Well, as soon as you go back home, you realize no fellowship, you know, you're not reading your Bible, hanging out with the old friends, and you wonder why you can't stand. Well, because you're just partaking of that tree, that corruptible seed. You're not going to that tree of life, which is Jesus. And so 1 week later, bam, crash, back slave of sin. You know, next year go back, same thing happens again. Next year, same thing again. So I thought, no, can't do it. It's impossible. You can't be free. I cannot be free from sin. And the devil just would tell me, you know, no, you know, you can eat from the tree. You'll still live. You're not eternally dead. You're not spiritually dead. And I believed the lie. So I was sharing this with him. I told him my slavery to sin and lust and corruption and pride and all these things, and told him I was similar to him. And as I was sharing, I shared how it happened, how the Lord spoke to me, and I told him I got free from sin, got born again. And he's like, he looks at me, he's like, so how'd you do it? He said, suddenly it's tension. I'm like, whoa, I think he wants to know. Maybe he's not free, you know. The Lord knows, but I started sharing with them, you know, how I get free. I started believing the Word. I started reading the Word. I started confessing, repenting for my sin. You know, I didn't start to stop doubting whether or not I was, you know, a slave or free. I just confessed, you know, Lord, I'm a slave. I remember one day I was in my room. I was crying out. I was like, Lord, show me. Please show me. I was desperate. Show me if I'm in sin, if I'm a slave. If this sin that I'm practicing is going to condemn me to hell, I need to know, Lord. I want to know, and I cried out earnestly with God, and I opened my Bible, and I opened up to that passage in Job 33, and the first thing I read, it said, why do you complain to him that God does not give an account of his doings? It says, yes, he does speak, now one way, now another, in a dream or in a vision, to warn a man from his conduct, to keep him from the pit. I was like, oh, Lord, you know, like, this is, at first I was blown away, you know, God's speaking to me, right? I was complaining that he doesn't speak, yet there he was, just speaking right to me, like straight out of the Word, and I thought, you know, this is serious, you know, Lord, you're not telling me I'm going in the pit here, like, I'm on the road, you know, I didn't want to accept that yet, but I believed he was speaking to me, so it's talked about pride in there, it talked about perversion and different things, and I knew I was guilty of, so I thought, Lord, I know you're speaking to me, and I was shaking, and in there it just gave me step-by-step instructions, what I was to do. It was amazing. It says, you know, he'll go to men and say, and confess, I perverted what is right. And it says that God will restore his flesh as the days of his youth. And he'll restore him. And so I thought, Lord, that's what I want. I want that. And so I was sharing this with him. He's like, where's that passage? He's like, write that down. He's like, so he wrote the passage down. He wanted to know, you know. So I was encouraged. He was able to receive. I saw that he was believing the Word again. He was starting to believe the Word that I believed when I was in my sin. So we kept talking Anyways, I was late for my appointment, but I felt like there was an urgency here. I'd already come late to that appointment because there was the traffic and stuff. So it wasn't looking so good for me in the work situation. But I was talking with this guy, and I felt the presence of God. He was there. I knew he was. So we kept talking. I was sharing more scripture with him. And he was talking, and then he's like, okay, write your name down. You know. So I write my name and my phone number. And I kept talking, you know, and then at the end of it, he says to me, he says, this is a divine appointment, he said, use those words himself. I never used those words. This divine appointment, he says, I know, He says, I know God sent you here. And he was half smiling because he was kind of in shock. Like he couldn't believe that this conversation happened. And he's like, he says, I got the same problems. He says, In fact, he says, I got in my bag here, I've got some magazines. He says, I got two magazines, like, you know, pornography. He says, right in my bag here. He says, and I know I should get rid of them. He says, but I'm going to get rid of them today. He says, I'm going to throw them away. He told me right there on the spot. And I was like, hallelujah. Lord, he's believing the word. You know, this is all started in there. This is how the day started. And I was just amazed. You know, that God's word does not return void. It does not return void. If that incorruptible seed gets into someone's heart, if they believe it, it will bring life. And he says, there they were, right there. He was reading his Bible, but he had his other magazines right 2 feet away. And I thought to myself, you know, that was me, you know. I was the same way. You know, how can I condemn the man? I cannot condemn him, right? I can't cast the stone. All I can tell him is Jesus Christ sets you free, right? Jesus Christ says, go and sin no more. In him is life. You know, believe that word. Receive the incorruptible seed. And so then, you know, the time went on. I was getting nervous because I was really late for my next appointment. I knew I was going to be late. And it was with a guy who is just, it's a guy you don't want to be late with. And, you know, this guy that every time I call him, he's just this angry guy. He's really, you know, he gets upset if things don't go his way. And I just knew it was going to be trouble. But I thought, Lord, I really feel I need to be here. And so the longer I waited, the more scriptures I got to share with them. And the more I got to write down our website. And I told him we got some free worship. And, you know, he's welcome to download. He's all good, you know. And he got my number, and then the last thing is he gave me his number. He's like, here. He's like, I'll write you my name. And he gave me his number. I have it right here. He says, you know, here's my name. He wrote it down, his phone number. And he's like, met March 8th, 2006. You know, he's like, this is a divine appointment. He says, I know God sent you here. He says, and he's like, wrote down, you know, problem with lust, etc. You write on my paper here. He says, I says, you need a brother to keep you accountable. Yeah, okay. And he wrote his name down, all these things. I thought, this man has humbled himself, you know. He's confessing to men, you know, that he's sinning. Lord, you know, this man can be regenerated. I told him, you need to be regenerated. You know, this man's going to be regenerated. If he acknowledges that he's a slave of sin, Jesus Christ will come and set him free. But not like those Jews, you know, not like those Pharisees who said, you know, we are free. That's not the heart that God's looking for. You know, he's looking for the one that says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, beating your chest and saying, Lord, I'm a slave. Problems with lust, you know, problems with pride, problems with covetousness. Whatever it is, you know, and confessing it, saying, Lord, help me. Right? Help me with my unbelief. Help me to believe again. And so he was just so encouraged, you know, and I was so encouraged. And so we got each other's phone numbers, and you could pray for him. His name's Nathan. So anyways, I went to my next meeting, and oh boy, I didn't feel good at all. You know, so you guys can pray for me now, because I got a fiery trial because of this thing. But I know the Lord is good, and you know, if we have this testimony, you know, that's why God calls us to walk, be holy as I'm holy. As we heard last week, be perfect as I'm perfect. That means that we're seeking and we're striving to enter the narrow gate. We're striving to be like Jesus because we want to be a witness. Because there's people that are in bondage, just like we were, or if we are, we can call on His name and believe in Jesus and believe that there's a resurrection for us. I see that resurrection is born again. I see it as regeneration. It happens in the spirit now. Just like the day that Adam sinned, when he died spiritually, the day you believe in the word of God, it says you are dead in your trespasses and sins. When you're in your sins, Ephesians 2 verse 1 says you're dead in sin. But when you believe, it says he makes you alive. You know? From death to life. It says he who believes in the Son has passed from death to life. It's a song we sang. Saying it today, is pass from death to life. That's not something, you know, some final resurrection when we leave our bodies. That happens too. But he's talking about a spiritual resurrection that comes when you believe in the gospel. And you pass from death to life, just the same as the day Adam died. Jesus Christ was a life-giving spirit. Adam was a living soul, but Jesus Christ, a life-giving spirit. And whoever believes in him and repents from the sins receives life. And that life is the beginning. And with that life, there is victory in Christ. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that His commandments aren't burdensome. It says that the victory is our faith. And we need to call His name and believe. And He will cause us. He'll cause us. It says in Ezekiel 36 that He's going to put a new spirit in us. He's going to sprinkle us clean with water. That's His word. He's going to wash us of our sin. And He's going to take out that heart of stone, that callous heart, like that lobster in the water, like the callousness of your heart, every time you go back to that sin and you realize, oh, I know what's wrong. It's a state of rebellion. It's a state of, he was telling me, that's reprobate. You know what reprobate is? Well, yeah. He says that's when the Holy Spirit's speaking to you and you just keep pushing off the conviction. Push it off. Reprobate. Apostate, that's a scary place to be. And he was telling me this. No, but the end of the conversation is, he was telling me he had a problem. So I praise God for that, because he's not, at this point I see him receiving the Spirit, the conviction he wants to overcome. Right now, maybe the good he wants to do, he wasn't able to do. But Paul, at the end of the statement, he said, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. You look to Jesus Christ and you set your mind on things above. You don't say, I don't know how it's possible, because with man, it's impossible. With the sin nature, you cannot obey. But with God, you can be born again. With God, mountains can be moved. I told him, it's a mustard seed of faith. It's the seed. Have the faith of a seed. Mountains will be moved. And that's what happened to me. There is a denying of self. There is a picking up of a cross. But it starts with faith. And then from there, we pick up our crosses and we suffer with Jesus in the flesh. And we cease from sin. And we overcome. There's hidden things of our heart that God's dealing with. We're not free from hidden sin. But there's a willful sin that God shows us. And we know when there's that conviction and we're pushing it off. That's the sin that God is speaking to us. And here in the now, when he says, today, do not harden your hearts in the day of the rebellion. That's that willful sin where you've been pushing it off. He knew what his sin was. He knew what it was. It was there in his backpack. And that's why he couldn't stand. I thought of the days of Joshua. How God called them to follow Joshua to possess the land. And there was that massive city, Jericho. And they went in there and they marched around the city and it fell. Right? That's much like when we come to our big thing in our lives that, God shows us we need to repent and turn from it. He gives us that victory. Maybe there's a time, there's a victory. But then, just like it happened to them, there's a backsliding. They came to that next city, which was Ai, a small city. And God says, he wanted them to go and possess the land. But when they went in there, suddenly they were defeated. The enemies totally defeated them and they couldn't stand. I'm drawing this picture because it's like our walk with Jesus. Come to a place and you wonder, why am I defeated in my spiritual walk? Why am I not able to overcome? Why do I don't have that peace and the joy? I lost my confidence. What is it? Well, I think if you look back at the Old Testament and it says these things are written for an example for us. And so we look and we see, what happened? How come Israel defeated this great city, Jericho, without one sword? All they did is march around that city and the walls fell. The battle was won. The Lord fought for them. And the commander of the army, Lord, he said, I am the commander of the army, Lord. I'm going before you. And so the victory was theirs, but then, suddenly, they're defeated. Such a small nation, such a small thing, but just like us, we make those small compromises, and we wonder why we can't stand it. They found it out. There was Achan. He had in his tent a Babylonian garment. So, bars of, was it gold or silver, or both? Some of this gold from Jericho. And God said, there's a curse on that city. There's a ban. And everything under the ban, you must not take for yourselves. There's no provision for those things. And so we have the new covenant. It says, make no provision for the flesh. And if you think, if I can take a little of this, a little of that, it'll be okay. But God says, make no provision for the flesh. And that's why we fall. We fall. Because like Achan, we look and we say, we covet, maybe like Paul, coveted, and suddenly you take that thing and you put it in your backpack, or you grab it and you just hang on to it, and you realize why you're defeated. You can't stand. You're defeated that week, and you're just not overcoming. And then suddenly the Lord says, "Get off your face, Joshua. There's sin in the camp," and it was affecting the body because the Bible says one sinner does much harm. That's why we need to cleanse ourselves and sanctify ourselves, and we can be useful and build each other up. And not become a defilement. And so they found Achan, and there he was, and he said, I sinned. Even this man said he sinned, but he knew there was a ban, and Lord, there was judgment for him that day. His soul died that day. And I thought, this man, he was reading his Bible, but yet there wasn't victory, because he had something under the ban in his backpack. And there was a provision for flesh, and we can do the same, not. It's not far from each one of us to make provision for the flesh and hang on to something and find that we're not free. We're not free And the Lord's serious about those areas of Jericho, those high places in our lives that God's already pointed out to us, that we make no provision in those areas. The ones that you know God has shown you clearly, this is a place of slavery for you, that there's just no compromise. There's no compromise in that. And for him, he knew what it was. And so I was happy to see that. He was convicted, you know, to get rid of those things under the ban. Those things in his life that were accursed things, lest he should become accursed, you know. But if we come to Jesus Christ in faith, it says he becomes a curse for us and redeems us from that curse. And so I'm believing that there's going to be victory there in his life. And when the Lord shows us, you know, ourselves, there's little areas of compromise. We need to tremble in fear and call upon him. And until then, we can't bring forth fruit. You know, it starts with the seed, but it doesn't finish there. There's a fruit that has to manifest. When there's a dealing with the sin in our lives, that corruptible seed, there's a renewing, a regeneration where there's new fruit coming from the incorruptible seed. And that's when the joy comes, the peace, the goodness, the kindness, all the fruits of the Spirit manifest so that you can become a fragrance and a testimony to others. And I just thank God that he was able to have hope. He believed the word. And it says the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. You don't have to say, you know, who's going to go to heaven to bring it down? You know, I don't know how I can do it. You don't have to say who's going to go into the abyss to bring it up. He says that's to bring Christ back up. And Christ already came down from heaven, and he was already raised up from the grave. Jesus Christ, what that means, the way I understand, is that Jesus Christ finished the work. He came down and he was raised up. He finished the work. It says the word is near you. Jesus Christ is here when you call upon him. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. And whoever calls on his name will be saved. And that man started believing the word. You know, and it was the same for me. I told him, he was curious how did it happen. I said, I just believed the word. I just repented. And from that day on, I decided I was gonna crucify my flesh. No matter what happened, I knew it was going to be painful. I had the sense, you know. Now that's going to be easy, but when you believe and you have that hope, you know, that it's possible, you're able. You know, you're able to endure it because you have hope. And so we have to hope that, you know, one day we're going to stand before Jesus and we're going to have incorruptible bodies, and he's going to present us blameless, and he's going to say, well done. You know, you listened, you obeyed my voice. Right? You are my sheep. My sheep follow me. And welcome. Welcome into the kingdom of God. Over there. One more thing that I was just thinking about today, from Matthew 7, where it says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. He begins to talk about the fruit, and about the false shepherds and the false teachers, how you'll know them by their fruit. And at the end of that, he says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but he who does the will of the Father. And the Lord just brought that clearly again to me today, that such a clear verse. You know, it's not about what you confess with your mouth or your lips. You know, on that day you might say, Lord, Lord, but it's about he who does the will, he who abides in Jesus. And this is how he tests them. He said, many are going to come and say, Lord, I prophesied your name, I cast out demons your name, and I did miracles. And I thought about those things, you know. Doing miracles, those are mighty signs, good things, powerful signs. How do you do those things apart from the finger of God? I don't know. I know there's false signs and wonders. But I also know that Judas was with Jesus, and they were doing signs and wonders too. And many prophesied in his name. They were able to proclaim the word in Jesus' name. And they even cast out demons. You know, and it says no one can cast out demons by the finger of God or the Spirit of God. And Jesus will say to them, I do not know you. And so I thought, well, what is it, right? He says, you depart from me, you practice lawlessness or practice sin. And he says, that's how you'll know those who are of God and those who aren't. Because those who are abiding are bearing fruit. You'll know them by the fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cast off into the fire and burned. And this is what God is looking for, that fruit in our heart. And on that day, you know, it's a fearful thing to be able to have to stand before Him and know that God's going to look in your heart and say, did you love me with all your heart? Or were you a slave? Were you a slave of sin still? And doing all these things. And it brought fear, God, in me that even after I, as Paul says, preached to others, I might be disqualified. You know, I'm sharing with this guy, and then I thought, you know, I myself need to be that living testimony every day. I can't go back to any kind of sin, make any kind of provision. Otherwise, I could be disqualified. You know, it just was reality. It was like the Lord checking my heart. You know, after I was sharing, I was all encouraged, you know, but the Lord just, you know, continue to abide in me. It's not the ones who prophesy. It's not the ones who do good things, you know, or used by God, but it's the ones who are abiding in Him. You know, well done, good and faithful servant. You're abiding in Him, bearing fruit. That's what He's looking for. Sometimes you can kind of look at the good work or the good deed as though God is pleased with that. Yes, He is, but that is not what He's looking for on the final day. He's checking to see if you're abiding in the vine, obeying the will of the Father, and doing His will. Did you do His will? You know, like Caleb shared about that on Sunday. Did you do His will? And you know, I want to keep that perspective wherever I go, you know, and when, especially when I share, to know that it's all grace, and I keep that fear of God and know that that's what He's coming for. He's coming for that fruit, and it's in Jesus Christ. And that's how they'll know. God will know those who are in the Son and those who aren't. He'll know by the fruit in our lives. Amen. Thank you.